Today's daf in Masechet Megillah brought to you Me'eretz HaKedesh is daf Tet Zayin, and we're up to the top line. Amar Vasi Dorash Rav Shila Ishkvar Timrata, and let us get to it. Umaktav Shalamata Shalizchuter Shal Yisrael Enu Nimchak. We were reading yesterday how it was that instead of saying Matzah Ketav, it says Matzah Ketuv, which means that he keeps finding something that keeps being written. And so it was impossible to erase those words in favor of Mordechai. So Reb Shila Ishkvar Timrasa points out that this is just a physical record in Olam Hazeh, which is, even that you can't get rid of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it preserved, because it's L'chvedo Shel Yisrael, L'schuset Shel Yisrael, a kosher king, a ketav shelamala, where they don't change the media that often. So because of that, that should last forever. No, for sure. Lo kosher ken. Anyway, so Achashverosh asks, I don't understand. Why would nobody be telling me what the heck is going on over here? Those are exactly the same words that Shoal used. Nobody's telling me what's going on. Exactly. Because, of course, this is everything that his granddaughter is doing, which is the tikkun of everything that happened to Shoal. So he says, Lo na'aseim odavar, absolutely nothing was done. Omar Rava lo mipnei sho'avim et Mordechai, ela mipnei sho'sonim et Haman. What, you think that putting it that way, which is like bound to hit Achashverosh like a ton of bricks, not a damn thing. Whoa. Oh my gosh, no wonder. So that's not because they're interested in getting Achashverosh to do something for Mordechai. It's because they all hate Haman at this point, as we saw that Esther was actually being matmenet lo pachim, hechin lo. So he tells him, well, you know, here we go. Nothing was done from this. Is at the same moment that Haman is coming in, litlot et Mordechai ala etz asher hechin lo, which he prepared for himself. And that's why it's called memuchan. So the melech tells him, aseikein le Mordechai hayudi, and so on and so forth. So he says, say, King Mordechai. So Haman says, Mordechai? Who's Mordechai? Omalei, Mordechai Yehudi. Oh, that's like saying Ahmed the Arab. I mean, like, Tuva Mordechai, Ikeb Yudai. I mean, who are you talking about? Omalei, Hayoshev Bishar Amelech. Oh, that guy. Yeah, no, he's a good guy. But I mean, I think it's a little bit exaggerated what I said. I think you should give him maybe a city. You know, give him a town. He could collect the taxes. Or maybe give him Bechad Nahara. Give him like a bridge over a river and he can live off of the taxes. A good idea, says Achashverosh. Add that into the pile. Hanami Havle. Altapel Davar, Mikola Shedibarta. Don't leave any of it out, meaning even this new stuff you're suggesting. And so Vayikach Haman et Alavush Vetasus. And he comes into the Beis HaMedrash. He walks in. And there are the Talmidim of Mordechai sitting in front of him and learning. And he, Mordechai, is busy because today, of course, is the 16th of Nisan. And the 16th, that's what we had, that he was Vayavar as Pesach, and now he's on the third day of his Tainis. It's the sixth day of Nisan, and the Nes has begun. And that is the day that you have to bring the Omer, which, of course, was the first day of eating the new peres in Eretz Yisrael, the new tefuah in Eretz Yisrael, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, which was the day, the last time that they ate from the man, which was also the last day of Haman, which was the end of the hachana on that day, which was the memuchan, lo echim. All starts to add up. And so Mordechai is busy teaching the dinim of the Hakrovas HaOmer of that day to his Talmidim, and he's showing them how to do Kmitza. So Haman walks in just at that point. Amazing, huh? Perfect. So here walks in the Mon himself, and Machvel Yochas Kmitza L'Rabbanim. So Mordechai looks up, he sees Haman coming in over there. So given the Chazi, Mordechai Dapik Lekabli V'susim Yachib Yadin, he's got this horse. He figures, oh my gosh, that's the executioner horse. He's probably taking me to be hung. So he starts to mirta, starts to tremble. He tells the Rabbonin who are learning by him, get out of here fast, man. He's coming to kill me. Zilu mikamede lo tichvu begachalato. Get away from him before you get burned with the fire that he's carrying around. Bahi shaita, so immediately nitatef Mordechai vekom lelitzuta. Mordechai starts davening. Because afilu cherev bunachat al tzavaro shel adam ati yitayesh benorachamim. So he starts to pray. Haman comes along. Haman can't interrupt Mordechai Shvam Esrei. I mean, come on. So Haman's got to sit there. And, you know, Mordechai's got a long Shvam Esrei. So Haman's got to sit there until he finishes his tefillah. And Haman's sitting there and sitting there. So he's Yasif like Kamayev, Orech, Ad, the Solik Mordechai, Letzalute, until finally Mordechai finished davening. Amalu, so Haman says, what were you guys doing here when I walked in? What's that weird stuff you're doing? So Mordechai tells him, look, Mizman, Shebet HaMikdash, Kayam, Man, Menadev, Mincha, Maite, all you have to do, he brings this Mincha by bringing Mole Kum Tzidisulta, just has to bring a Kometz of Solet, and that's a Kapora for him. Amalu, damn. Ata Mali Kum Tzikimcha, Titchu, Vedachi, Aseret, Alfei, Kikri, Kasmedini. Your lousy 10 cents worth of kemach was apparently worth more than the 10,000 kikrot kesev that I paid in order to get the Jews. I can't believe it. Omar Lay, what do you mean you paid? You mean I paid? That was all my money. Russia, you idiot. He obviously had picked up at this point that things were not what he thought, Mordechai. After all, Eved Shekana Nechasim, Eved Lamim Nechasim Lami. Understand, you are a servant, and you think that this was your money? How is it your money? If a servant owns money, so then the master, and you may notice the bottom of my shoe, the master is the one who actually owns that money. So Tosfos points out over here an amazing thing, that the truth is there's a lot of different cheshbonos among the Mefarshim. The same, but with variations. But Tosfos, the way the Bach understands Tosfos, is that Tosfos understands that the 10,000 shkolim are precisely equal to the population of Yisrael during the time of the Midbar. So it would be 600,000 people, and each of them had 50 years worth from the age of 20. So 50 years worth that they would be giving the machtis hashekel. And that means that if he gives 50 machtis hashekel, so then he's giving 25 shkolim over his lifetime, because basically he had, assuming a normal life course. So that means if you have the 600,000, that means that each one of those 600,000 is giving 25 shekel over a lifetime. That equals 15 million shekel. And 10,000 kikrot, each kikar shokhulam, not shokodesh, is 1,500. The kikar shokodesh was double. That was 3,000, as you'll recall, or we'll soon see again, hopefully, in the parshas that are coming up. So then that means that 15 million shkolim equals 10,000 kikar shokhul, which is what it was that he paid. And therefore, he's saying, I basically gave the value of all of Klal Yisrael, so therefore I should have won. Anyway, getting on with the story. So Omar Leis, Omar says to Mordechai, okay, get up. Here are these beautiful begodim, because the king has sent you these royal garments. And here is the horse, get on the horse, because the king so desires. Mordechai says to him, are you crazy? How am I supposed to, look at me. I'm supposed to go and put on in my current state. I've got to go. First of all, I got to go to the bathhouse. I got to get cleaned up. I mean, I'm a wreck. I've been sitting here in sackcloth and I haven't had a haircut. You don't go to see the king without a haircut. So let me go get a haircut first and go to the bathhouse. It's not even correct to put on the king's clothing. Meanwhile, Esther had seen to it that all of the Beibani, all of the people that work in the bathhouses, and all of the Umni, which are the barbers, it's interesting because even in those days, apparently, the Umni, because the Umni is usually the word that's used for the blood letters, Right? So you were talking about all the way back then, the barbers and the bloodletters were the same people. This is until very recently. That's exactly it. So, okay, so she has them all arrested, and there's not a single attendant available, and there's not a single barbershop that's open. So anyway, so what it happened, it would have to be that Haman would have to take care of Mordechai himself. So Haman gets into the bathhouse, washes Mordechai off like a regular bathhouse attendant. He has to go back to his own home, bring a pair of scissors, and cut Mordechai's hair. And as he's cutting it, he's sitting there moaning and groaning, Ingud v'isnach. So Mordechai says to him, what the heck? What's all that noise? Amaika mitnachav, what are you sitting there groaning about? Omale, what am I groaning about? I am the leading nobleman of this country, and I should turn into a balan and a sapar? What a bizoyan. Omale, Russia. Ha! You think I don't know that you were the barber in Kfar Kartzum? Kartzum, of course, might have something to do with Amalek. You were there for 22 years. That might have something to do with the story, too. Tana Haman Sapar Shel Kfar Kartzum Haya 22 Shana. 22 years you worked as a barber. So now all of a sudden you're moaning and groaning. A great man like me should be a barber. Thank you very much. Anyway, Bas the Shaklina Lamazi, after Haman finishes the haircut, he dresses him. He dresses Mordechai, and he says to him, okay, get up on the horse and let's get moving. Mordechai says, how am I supposed to get up on a horse? You realize how weak I am? I'm sitting here 3 days of fasting, I can barely move. So Haman bends down to be a stepladder for Mordechai to step up on in order to get to the horse. So he bends down in front of the horse, and Mordechai gets on him, and as he gets up, he gives him a nice kick in the rear, like he's yelling, Potbay. And someone says to him, I can't believe it. This is the way you act? Doesn't it say, bin fol oivecha al tismach, don't take advantage, be happy when your enemy falls? Omar le, hane mili bi Yisrael. Of course that's true, but that's talking about a Jewish enemy. But with your likes, it says, v'atal bomotenu tidroch, you are about to step on their high places, and that rear end of yours is about the highest place I can see. Smash. Okay, very good. So Haman begins the walk with the horse of Mordechai. Anyways, walking through town, and he gets to Haman Lane, which was recently renamed after the great famous nobleman. And Chazia Barte de Kaime Aigra, so now his daughter was standing on the roof and she sees this procession with the loudspeakers. And, oh my gosh, she says, this is amazing. They finally forced Mordechai to walk Haman around the city and to proclaim. So she takes the chamber pot out of the bathroom and dumps it on the head of the guy who's leading the horse, who, of course, she assumes is Mordechai, but which is actually her father. So, Sovra Haide Rochi Vavua Vahide Maski Kame is Mordechai. So, Shakla Tzitza the Beit Akisa, she takes a chamber pot and throws it on his head with its contents. So, Haman looks up to see who did that, and then she sees, oh God, it's my father! And she falls to the ground in suicide and dies. Anyway, that's why the pasuk says, "Vayashov Mordechai al Shar HaMelech," which means, what do you mean? He went back. It means this made no impression on him. It's all very nice, but until Klal Yisrael is saved, Shav leSakov leTanito, it made not the slightest difference in terms of his hanhaga. Just because it seems to be changing, you don't jump to conclusions. On the contrary, your magbir, your tefillah, and Haman. Now that explains why it says Haman nitchaf el beito. Avel v'chafui rosh. He was avel because he was mourning. His daughter had just committed suicide. V'chafui rosh, and he's got all of this stuff on his head. Amasha Yiralo, what happened to him? V'yisaper amant l'zeresh ishto ulechol ohavav. This is interesting because it says, first in the pasuk, it says, l'zeresh ishto ulechol ohavav. So he tells him over et kol asher karahu, which is the Karzon, which is the Amalek, Karahu, everything that had just happened to him. And now suddenly his Ohavav become Chachamav. And it says, Vayomru lo Chachamav. He was never talking about the Chachamav. He was talking about Ohavav. So Chachamav and Zeresh Ishto tell him, Imi Zera Yudi Mordechai Asher Echilotel in Polifanov, Lotu Chalo, Kinafolti Po, Olifanov. Now make up your mind. Korile Ohavav, Korile Chachamav. Which is it? Reb Yochanan, well, they started off as just being his friends. But Kol HaOmer Dvar Chochma, Afilu B'Umot HaOlam Nikra Chacham. Somebody smart enough to say something that really makes sense. Now all of a sudden he becomes Chachamav. Barnea's practicing already for the L'chaim. He's really getting into the mood, which is wonderful, wonderful. So therefore they become Chachamav because they said something very intelligent. Now, when you say Imi Zera HaYehudi Mordechai, now that seems to be saying that if there are specific parts of the Yehudim that he comes from, then you're in trouble. So actually giving him an Eitza, where it is they should look to see what the future holds for poor Haman. So they say to him, well, it depends. You got to find out more about this guy. If Mordechai comes from some of the other Shvatim, you could have made it. But Imi Shevet Yehuda, or Binyamin, or Ephraim, or Menashe, it's over. Well, of course, he's Ish Yehudi and Ish Yemini. It sort of covers it. So, poor Haman. I'll tell you why. Because Yehuda, it says, Yadecha Ba'oref Oyevecha. And the other ones, Binyamin, Ephraim, Menashe, it says in the Pesuk, Lifnei Ephraim, Uvinyamin, Umenashe, Orerad Gevuratecha. Ki nafol tipol lefanav. Why does it say nafol tipol? Say ki tipol lefanav. Shtei nevilot al olama. Because it doesn't end now. This is just the beginning, is what they're saying. Amrulo. Umazzo mishulala afar umishulala kochavim. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares Klal Yisrael to the afar, the sand al sfas hayam, but it's also called the kochavim. So, if they are on the actually descendant, so then they can go all the way down to the afar. You could trample all over them. But once they start going up, they just keep going up until they hit the stars. And it looks like you've been caught in Star Wars. As they're talking to Haman, Vesiri say, Hamelach Higil, he's getting late to the party. And so they have sent a whole troop of taking him and grabbing him. Let's go, let's go. I got to wash my hair. Let's go, come on. But I'm filthy. We don't care. The king says, come. They drag him away. So he walks in smelling like a rose. And there he is in the party. This was not a very auspicious beginning to the party. Anyway, so sure enough, Achashverosh says, so, ma bakashatech. And so she says, listen, all I'm asking for is my life, you know, because I would never, chas v'shalom, would never trouble the king to ask for anything. But, I mean, kinim karno ani v'ami l'ashmid l'harog l'abed, if we were just being sold for avadim u'shvachot, that would be fine. But that's not what they're doing over here. Ki ein atzar shove b'nezek ha-melech, this guy couldn't care less about the king. So amra lo, this person, Sarze Eno Shoveb and Ezek Shamalach, he doesn't see any value in what you're going to lose. I mean, at least make money off of selling us. Take a look at what he does to you. He started up with Vashti because he figured he'll get Vashti out of the way, you know, so now he's jealous. Vashti's got sway over you. He wants complete control of your mind. So he gets rid of Vashti so that he can take control, and he figured I wouldn't be a problem. Now he's jealous of me, so now he wants to get rid of me also. That's what this whole plan is about, controlling Achashverosh. Vayomer HaMelech Achashverosh, Vayomer LeEsther HaMalka. Wait a minute. You just said Vayomer. What is the separate Vayomer? Was he talking to himself before? So why does he repeat it? Vayomer, Lomeli. Omer Rebbe Yavo, because he never would speak to her directly until this moment. Because remember, as a mole, she's probably a commoner, to say the least. I'm going to speak directly to her. What if his yoinis? Now it'll turn out that she's some kind of street cleaner? and that I've been talking to her? So he spoke to her through an interpreter. So betchila ayadei turgaman, but now has come the moment. She told him who she was. She is not only a Hungarian, she's a princess, as it goes. And so it turns out she's a princess because she comes from Sheol. Ah, in which case the legitimacy suddenly returns. And so now he talks directly to her. Vayomer le'Esther Hamalka, indeed, pure royalty. Miad vayomer le'Esther Hamalka. Vatomer Esther. So she says, Miuzev Yezev, Vatomer Esther Ish Tsar Ve'Oyev Haman Hara Hazer. What's the Ish Tsar Ve'Oyev? I mean, there's two separate things over here. Is she pointing to the guy? Ish Tsar Ve'Oyev Hazer? Omar Rabbi Elazar Melamed Shehayta Machava Klapei Achashverosh. She was pointing to him, Hazeh, Ish Tsar Ve'Oyev, and Amalek came and pushed her hand away so that it should face Haman, and then she said, Haman Hara Hazeh. This is a fantastic, I mean, this is, again, nobody appreciates the incredible depth of this entire thing. Had she pointed only to Haman? I mean, it sounds insane. What do you mean she's pointing to Achashverosh? So then the whole thing, she's undermining. She's not undermining. This was the whole beginning of Esther's achievement. Remember that the fabulous story of the Megillah is a flight into fantasy. The whole thing is absolutely fantastic. As I pointed out, it comes across like some kind of weird, like the Mikado or something, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan. But it's nutty. The whole story is nutty. No one's going to take a story like this seriously. See, I'm serious. If you saw this on the stage, you wouldn't think that it's Gilbert and Sullivan. It makes the Mikado look less exaggerated, right? This thing, like, it's an unbelievable story. And what this is starting from the Murphy Brown Michigan's the Miss Universe contest. It's unbelievable. So what's happening over here is that in the midst of all of this insanity, and this, I pointed out that this was mamish the theme of Moulin Rouge. Exactly. The whole thing was completely fantastic from beginning to end. And in the midst of all of this fantasy, you have the development of human lives, people falling in love, and real things are happening in the middle of the fantasy. And what happens with Esther is that she, first of all, was able to assert a level of stripped down reality, literally stripped down reality, but totally stripped down. Ein la ava aim, lo biksha davar. Whatever it is that he imagines her to be, she becomes in his mind, completely stripped down into whatever it is. But she has to now flip that into something real and turn it into love, which she managed to do for him. It was the only real thing in his life. Do you know what it is when a person like lives in complete terror of anybody knowing the truth, including himself? I mean, this whole mishigas with Haman, you know, the Murphy Brown idea. We've got to ensure the morality of this country by making sure that the women know how to treat the husband and so on and so forth. To have like one little corner, a pinat yikrat, where the human being has connection to something that's real in his life, is an unbelievable thing. And she needed to expand that. And so, if she continued the fantasy at this point, it could not have developed. If she would have said to him, you know, well, of course, oh dear king, you knew nothing about this, and we know how pure and holy you are, would never allow such a thing, but it's this horrible person, then it would have been just the same Murphy Brown insanity, and that meant she would have entered into the world of fantasizing that he lived in. So she had to allow a moment of reality. And the question was, how far could she go? That the Malach determined. Enough, okay. It's Haman. But he understood. He understood at that moment that she wasn't letting him off, and it was real. And he next does the only real thing that we ever saw him do. He walks outside for perspective. He goes into the Ginat Bitan. What the heck is he going into the Ginat Bitan for? He usually just calls on his yes men, and he calls the Chachamim Yodei Aitim, or get people to say whatever it is that he wants. This is the first time the man actually went to think. He's a completely different guy. This is the result of what had just happened. So, V'amelech kam b'chamato, so the king gets up, and he walks out, and then it says, V'amelech shav meginat habitan, and then he comes back in. Now, why do you have to say, he could have just said, V'amelech shav. I mean, we know where he went. Why do we have to know where he came back? Because, makishi v'alekima, it's telling us that when he came back in, he was furious the way that he had been made furious when he left. Just like the kima was bechema, the sheva was bechema. Why? Well, he walked out to the garden, and there's this huge truck there with a whole bunch of people all dressed up in the uniforms that say Haman's lawn service, and others were saying Haman's tree cutting, and all of these Malachi Asharis are walking around over there, and they're cutting down all of his beautiful trees that he's been working on for the whole time. And they're cutting down all of the Ilanis. V'kakri Ilana Dubustani. He says to them, what the heck is going on over here? We don't know. We got an order over here, sir, from Mr. Haman. And he says he's going to be using this area as a different kind of a parking lot, he said, starting next week. He wants to park his cars. Ah! And so he goes back. Okay. Fine. Adorable. So I'm at Pakdin and Haman. Anyway, he comes into the house. And at that moment, Haman is no fail al Hamitan. What do you mean, Haman is no fail? Not no fail. He wasn't falling. He had fallen. No? Nafalmi Baile. No, Amar Belezer. He was trying to get up off of the bed, and a Malach was pushing him down on top of Esther. No, stay there. It's nice. Stay there. And Achashverosh walks in, sees him on Esther, and says, oh my God, this is nuts. Vai mi beta, vai mi bra. It's bad news outside, bad news inside. This is unbelievable. While I'm right here in the house, you're coming now to rape my queen? And at that moment, Vayomer Charvona, here comes Charvona, Chadmina Tsarisim, Lifnei HaMelech, Gamineya Eitz Asher Asa Haman LeMordechai. Asher diber tov al hamelech, omeid beveis haman, gavua chamishim hama, vayomer hamelech, telu alav. Now the truth is, Omar Rabbi Elazar, this guy, Charvona, he was Russia. And he was originally part of the whole gang that was involved in this plot to get rid of Mordechai. So he was bota itzahaya. It was pretty clear at this point that he's on the losing side. So because of that, Miyat Barach, now he's run away from the losing side, and now he, of course, is on Mordechai's side. That's why it talks about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Manish Rishayim. So Eov writes, Vayashlech alav velo yachmon miyado baruach yivrach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he starts being manish the Rosha, so he throws it all on him without any kind of rachamim. And all those who were close to this one, his miyado, the ones that were like his closest allies, are going to run. Baruach yivrach, they'll just disappear into the clouds. Now, what is it about Charvona? I mean, what, just because he happens to be the guy that changed his mind, so therefore, Yom Charvona Zohur Latov, and we're like, what is there about him that is in any way Zohur Latov? I believe that the inyan is that Charvona did not just say what to do with Haman in terms of, let's get rid of him, or we have a gallows, or whatever. He specifically noted, and he was the one who brought out the Mumuchan aspect of Haman and the Venahafochu. So in other words, he was insightful enough to say, here was the tree, Gavoach HaMishimama, which Haman had just come in to ask you to hang up Mordechai on it, who was the very one that you were looking to as the only one who cared about you. And it seems to me to suggest that in this turnabout, it would be the perfect ending. So for that as well, that chiddush of exposing at that moment how all of a sudden these pieces are clicking together in such perfection and suggesting this to Ahasuerus, that is an insight in which the nace of the whole story is becoming this gala. So then Chamat HaMelech Shachacha. What is Shachacha? Shacha. Why do we need Shachacha? There's Shtei Shechichot Alalu. Lama. Well, one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. So Achat Shemalko Shalola. He's been furious at this whole time. And the Achat Shel Ahasuerus, or some say, Achat Shel Esther V'Achat Shel Vashti. The Pashtus of the Pesach is referring to a double Shechacha of Ahasuerus because he's really been furious at the fact that Vashti got knocked off and she, Esther, had put the two together. In Atzar Shoveh Ben Ezek HaMelech. So now he realizes he's been taken for a ride this whole time by this guy. So now it's a double Shechacha because it comes to address the past as well. And Mordechai, actually, this moment has been foreseen by Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim, where, of course, all of this stress on clothing and on stripping and on the clothes of Mordechai, it's all been part of the story from the very beginning. And now we're actually going to go back. We're going to trace some of that story. But it says over there, L'chulam natan l'ish chalifot smolot. And then it says, L'vinyamin natan Dafka Chamesh Chalifot Smolot. Now that means that Yosef actually gave, besides the Shalosh Meot Kesef, but he gave Chamesh Chalifot Smolot. Efshe Davar Shenitzta'er Bo Oto Tzadik. I mean, this is what destroyed Yosef, was the fact that there was this favoritism that was shown by Yaakov Avinu in terms of the few dollars worth of extra material, and he's giving five Chalifot Smolot. How could he do that here himself? Ikashelbo, isn't he sensitive to the very issue of Kina? Note how central Kina was to the whole Suda, to the whole story of Ahasuerus' manipulation of things, and how careful Ahasuerus was. So you're telling me now, at this moment, so he gave over to his brother the very thing that would be the seed of their undoing with Kina in the future? The Omer Rava Bar Machasi, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omer Rav, Bishvil Mishkal Shnei Sla'im Milat, because of a couple of quarters worth of some extra material. We've spoken about Milat before, remember, and that was the Machlokas we mentioned between Rashi and the Ebenezer. The Ebenezer says it's kind of silk, Rashi says it's kind of wool. Anyway, so because of that, Shosif Yaakov Liosef Mishar Echav, Nitgalgel Adavar V'yardu Avotenu L'Mitzrayim. We ended up with Golus Mitzrayim. So how could Yosef have done the same thing when finally his brothers get together again? Omar Rabbi, of all people, Binyamin Bar Yefet. Now, he really belongs in this Masechet, let me tell you. So Remez Ramazlo, he was actually giving a hint to Binyamin about the future that would be coming. And that was she'atid bein latzeit mimenu she'yetze lifnei hamelech. There was going to be a son who would be in a matzav of malchus, in which he would go forth in front of the king wearing chamisha chalifot smalot. And that's exactly what it says. Mordechai yatzam lifnei hamelech belavush malchut techelet vechur yateret zahav. Tachrich boots, v'argaman. We're listing all of this. These are the clothing that were given by Yosef to Binyamin at the beginning. And now they're finally being exposed. So how does that answer the question? Is he still not being me'orer kina? So remember that it said specifically it was the fact that it was shnei slayim milat that made the difference, meaning that it was worth more. Not that it was different. People are willing to accept differences, but not greater worth. And therefore, says the Gra, the Chamesh Chalifot Smalot to Binyamin were the equivalent of what he had sent to his brothers in terms of value. He just was making sure that it would be clear that they were different than the other begotten. Anyway, so now we would like to know the rest of the story. After all, we are talking about it. Perhaps it has something to do with things. And so we want to know, why does it say, Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv? He fell on his brother Binyamin's necks. Necks? Wow, how many necks did Binyamin have? That's really interesting. So, kamat tzavarim havi le Binyamin. So this means that the Beis HaMikdash, which is compared to Kimigdal David Savarech, that means it's your neck. So he fell crying on the two Batei Mikdash that were in the Chelek of Binyamin, the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon and the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, that were going to be Choruv. And of course, that's exactly what this whole story is about. It's about the prevention, Ad Chatzi HaMalchut, and the letters that Shimshi was writing to prevent the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is actually part of the story. So the necks represent those two Batei Mikdash, even though Rashi takes out the question of how many necks did Binyamin have. The Girsot that are brought all over are mashma that they have that. And so the Mepharshim explained that there's no kasha, because Rashi himself says that the meaning of tzavarav, as opposed to tzavare, the meaning of tzavarav, Rashi says, is no different than the meaning of Adonav. Ki Adonav yiten lo isha. How many Adonim does he have? There are words that are used in the plural as a status. That's what tzavarav means. So when it comes to the next pasuk, where it says that Binyamin, it says Bacha al Tzavarav, that's not a question, because Tzavarav is one. And that was a reference to Bacha Mishkan Shilo, She'atid li'yot b'chalko shel Yosef ya'atid le'charev. We're talking about even the Churban of Shilo. Note, of course, our Masechet has been dealing with the difference between Shilo and Yerushalayim, and exactly these inyanim. And there, it's not a problem, because the word savarav, this the Marsha points out, I'll just speak about it, the word savarav means one neck. But the word savarei is only used in the plural, and therefore we can ask that question, kamat savarim? V'inei einechem ro'ot v'inei achi Binyamin. So why does he compare Binyamin's eyes and the eyes of his brothers? Omar Rabbi Elazar amar lehem kishem she'ein b'libi al Binyamin, Achi, I mean, how could I ever have anything against him? He wasn't part of the whole plot. Shelo haya b'mechirati. Kach ein b'libi alechem. I have nothing against any of you. That's the point. So you can see that I'm talking to all of you the same. And you can see ki pi hamedaber alechem kipi. We can read that. Meaning ki libi kein pi. That what I'm saying to you is coming from the depths of my heart. Ula aviv shalach kazot. And then he sends asarach amorim, nosim mituv mitzrayim. And these are, but it doesn't say what the tuv mitzrayim are. What are the tuv mitzrayim? And here we could see Rabbanei is trying to show us yain yashan. Omer Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, Amar Rabbi Elazar, shalach lo yain yashan, shedad zekinim noche emenu. That makes old people feel really good, to have some nice, delicious port, which I'm assuming Barney is giving this old man. Not bad. Next time, try T-squared. A little better than that. Okay, so then what happens? Vayachu gam echav vayiplu lefanav. Omar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, Omar Rabbi Elazar. So when they all now fall after the death of Yaakov Avinu, and they bow down to him, that's what people say. Einu de amri inchi, tala beitne sagidle. When the fox has a moment in which he becomes king, this was like a whole fable that there was one day a year that they made the fox the king and so on. So when it's the day of the fox, then you bow to the fox. And that's why they were bowing down to Yosef. I mean, he was empowered. Tala, I understand. Why in the world would you view Yosef as like being less than the other brothers? Like he's the fox. I mean, my bitsiruti miachvoi. What way was he less than his brothers were? What Rabbi Elazar must have said was, in reference to Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh HaMitah, Omar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Omar Rabbi Elazar. This is because, Ta'Allah Be'idne, Sagitle. Even though you think it's inappropriate for a father to bow to his son, but this is a son who's in a position of Malchus. And for that, to compare him to Yaakov Avinu as a Tala, that's understandable. What could he have said to them that actually spoke to their hearts? Omar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Melamit Shamar Lam Dvarim Shemit Kablim Al Alev. He said things that were undeniably persuasive, and it made them feel that it's for real. Because he said to them, look, it doesn't really matter how I feel about you, you know? Because if asara nerot lo yochlu lechabot ner echad, ner echad ech yochol lechabot asara nerot. There was nothing that you could do to me, no matter what you tried. Barnea wants to make sure that the single ner that belonged, this was the ner that he shows on his tours, the ner, the very ner that Yosef HaTzadik was using at that moment when the brothers came in, and he pointed to it and said, that will be an additional $10 for the tour, please. And he said that one ner can certainly not be mechabe all of these other nerot. So like, what suddenly kicked in now that wasn't there before that was given to the Yehudi? Omer of Yehuda, these were the things that actually Haman had seen to that they wouldn't have. And instead, these were the very things that for the hapachu that they had more of. So ora, that is always a reference to Torah. V'chein hu omer, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Simcha refers to Yom Tov, which Haman had been gozer against Shabbos, which is part of Shabbaton. V'chein hu omer v'samachto b'chagecha. Soson refers to Mila that he had been gozer against. V'chein hu omer, sos anochi al imrasecha. And we know that imrasecha is a reference to Mila because it never says vayidaber in the mitzvah of Mila. It's vayomer Hashem al Avram italech lefanai vayetamim. So it's an amira. And therefore that amira has brought me immense joy. This was the story of Dovid HaMelech in the Beit HaMerchatz, in which he thought he was stripped of mitzvahs, and he realized he's never stripped of mitzvahs because he carries the Oz Bris. V'yakar refers to tefillin that they had been gozer against. Why are tefillin called yakar and kavod? V'chenu omer v'ra'u kol ha'mei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yar'u mimecha. So if all of the world will see the shem Hashem, and that Shem Hashem, the Balaturim says, the Shin on the Tfillin stands for Shin Yud Nun. Shem Yud Ke Vav Ke Nikra. So that the very Shin on the Tfillin is a Zecher that the Shem Hashem is Nikra Alecha. So that's Kovet. V'tanya, that's a reference to Rabbi Yezra Gadol Omer. That is a reference to Tfillin Sheberosh. So now we have the 10 children of Haman that we have to read, that they were all hung. So we have the Et Pashandat, Avet Dalfan, Avet Zatpat, Avet Porat, Avet Adalya, Avet Aridat, Avet Parmasht, Avet Arisai, Avet Aridai, Avet Vaisata. No, don't go. Wait to go until you say the word Aseret. That's the whole point. And therefore, you need to say the names of the Aseret Bnei Haman, together with the word Aseret, all in one breath. Tzarech l'memra b'neshima achat. Because this is the idea. The Maisa, the interesting thing is that the minig is to say the chamesh meot ish together with them, because they are sarei chamesh meot. Okay. But anyway, according to the Gemara, that's the important nekuda. And that's because kula ba'ade adadi nafkinish matayo. That one breath, they all had their last breath at the same instant, all 10 together. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the vav, the letter vav, in Vaizata has to be long, like you have to pull it out, make it longer, Bezekifa Kimordaya Delivras, like, you know, that's why Mark Twain was named Mark Twain, because he was named after the Mordaya de Livrot, except it wasn't the Livrot, it was the Mississippi, but it's basically the same idea. So this was the, these were the sticks that you would use for sounding and then for pushing the boat off if it gets too close to the shore and so on. So it should look like that, because after all, I mean, it's a suitable story for Mark Twain anyway, right? So therefore, we should make it look like the gallows. It's about locus, what that is. Does it mean that the vav is supposed to be longer, which is the way that we're noyeg, or does it mean that it's supposed to be straightened, that the top of the vav is pulled up so that it doesn't have the normal shape of a vav, which is another minig, which we're not currently noyeg. There were other pshatim as well. Anyway, my tama, why is that? Because kula b'chadzikifa is the kifu, because they were also all hung along the same way the aseret is in terms of time, the nature of the gallows is shown by the shape of the vaizata, which, as you all are familiar, of course, with the incredible remez of the three small letters that appear there to be merames on the year Tafshin Chet, which is the hanging of the Nazis. But the most beautiful part of that is that the Nazis knew it. That's what's so incredible. As Streicher is being led down there to the gallows, his famous last words, "Das ist Purimfest!" What a killer, what a killer. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa.
Rabbi, allow me to bring Gula b'shem Oro. That Tufshin Zion, the three small letters, was Rav Asher Hirsch Shoshi's uncle, who was preparing the Megillah in Nuremberg for the American Army.
Oh, wow.
And it hit him. And he wrote it up in Hadarom years later or some other thing, but that was his Kiddush.
Really? Beautiful.
He's credited with it. Everybody quotes it, but it's Rav Asher Hirsch.
Nuremberg's in Barnea's neighborhood. Thank you. Amazing how he gets around over time and space. Omar Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa. Dora Shepshila Ishkvar Timrat Marta. Kol Ashirot Kulan Nichtavot Ariach Agabe Levinah Levinah Agabe Ariach. This is a whole machlokus, what exactly this means. Rashi learns that the interrelationship of the an Ariach is a Chatz Levinah, so it's like a half brick. It's like when you build a wall, and a decorative wall, so you have half bricks and whole bricks, and you stagger them so that they should be strong. So according to Rashi, the empty space in each of the lines of Shira is double the length of the written space. And he's calling the empty space the Levena, and the written space is considered to be the Ariach. Okay, there's other Pshatim disagree with Rashi, that we shouldn't call something that's empty space, can't be part of the Ktav. But anyway, Chutz Mishira Zo, except for the Shira of, meaning we're calling this the Shira because we refer to the Megillah before Shira. So this part that's written Kashira, which has the Aseret B'nei Haman and the list of the Malchei Knan that we also have as a list in the Lamed Aleph Malachim, Yehoshua, they are written in a way that doesn't have any tekuma. Over there you have an Ariach. We have Et, Ve'et, Ve'et, Ve'et. There's one small line, and then we have the names of the sons of Haman on the other side. So over there you have a small, an Ariach, an Et on top of an Ariach, and a Levena, a Gabi Levena, and the same thing we have in Yehoshua. My Taima, Shalotet Kumala Mapalatam. We want to indicate that they do not have the ability to stand strong the way a good wall would stand. Anyway, Achashverosh comes in, and he is incensed. Vayomra Melech Lesterabalka. The Jews are out of control. B'shushan Abirar, Gua Yudim, Chamesh Meodish. This is awful. How is this possible? Murderers. Ar Gua Yudim, Vabet, Chamesh Meodish, Vetaseret Ben Yaman. Who knows what they've done across this country? B'shar Medinot HaMelech, Ma'asu, God help us. Anything else you'd like, Esther dear? Yes? So, what is that? Ma'ashelotech, V'yinatin lachu, Ma'bakashatech, Od V'teyas. That's not exactly consistent with the beginning of the pasuk, is it? Omer Rabbi Abo, well, this teaches you that a malach showed up as he starts getting incensed, and who knows what they did with the rest of the country, and hit him straight across the mouth, gave him a nice bun, he realized, whoops, okay, which basically means, the way that we've always explained it, is that it was Esther. In other words, it was at that moment that he was brought back to recognizing that, yes, Esther, dear. And this is, of course, the big, amazing nace of Shushan. Because what it was that Esther was asking, people think that the nace in Shushan was an extension of the original nace. Nonsense. It was the most astonishing transformation. And it was the end of the transformation that she was the one who had begun. And up until then, he didn't do anything. When she asked him to take it all back, he said, well, there's nothing to do. I mean, k'tav nichtav b'shem ha-melech ha-chashverosh ein la-shiv. You can't do that. It's against the law. I have nothing to do. And so he said, look, you know, take it. If you can figure out some way out of this without going against the law and you've got a legal way out, go ahead. Whatever you want to write, you know, write it. So what did they write? That since the original letters had only said, Lihiyot muchanim liyom hazeh, everybody should be ready for this day. So they resent the same letters. Everybody should be ready for this day, and the Jews should be ready to take revenge from their enemies. You also should be ready. Same letter. Nothing was changed. Esther was asking for something totally different. Even though she couches it in terms of an extension, there's no extensions because the whole point of the letter was Yom Echad. You're given one day to do this. You got to get rid of all of the Jews in one day. So what is she doing? She wants him to become proactive, not the same stupid Achashverosh who can never do anything, stand for anything, and just allows things to work out. It's time for you to take a stand. And he did. And that was the tremendous revolution out of which he actually put taxes. The guy who was Mr. Read My Lips, no new taxes. The end of the Megillah is that he slaps new taxes on. What does that have to do with anything? That should be it's the most insane anticlimax of any book in history, you know? You're talking about this incredible story, and it's like Cinderella and Yosef and Moulin Rouge and God only knows. And in the end, that's what you teach us. Yes, and Achashverosh even put on new taxes. But you see, that's the point from the beginning. Look how many tax holidays he called. Look how much he was trying to suck up to whoever he could suck up. But now, he's suddenly a person who stands for things. That was the amazing change in Shushan. It was a completely different level of nace, because of which we have that extra day of Purim, because it's a new nace. And that is the special achievement that Esther was the one who achieved. And so then when it says in the Pasuk, it's very confusing. Vayomer ha-melech le-Esther ha-malkah, we have followed by the story. So then they go over the story. And so when they send around the whole deal, he describes them what happened. Ubevoa lifnei hamelech, when she comes to the king, Amar ima sefer, yashuv machshavto hara'a shechashav ala yudim arosho, v'talu oto v'et bonav ala etz. Now the reality is that this was the day of hanging up the sons of Haman, which is what, of course, Esther had wanted specifically, in which she said it's important to actually hang up those children. So she says to him, Imal ha-melech tov, yinaten gam machar la-yudim asher b'shushan la-asor kitat hayom, v'et aseret b'nei Haman yitlu al ha-etz. Vayomer ha-melech lehei asot kein, vatinaten dat b'shushan, ve'et aseret b'nei Haman talu. So this was a completely different thing, in which she said, I'm not talking about hanging them in terms of killing them, I'm talking about hanging them up like they do in Iran, you know? So this became the minhag after Esther to do in Persia. Okay, if you got somebody that you've gotten rid of who's an enemy of the kingdom, so then you hang them up so that everyone, l'man yir'u v'yilmedu. So, okay, so fine. That's what she wanted, and that's what she got. So then that means that when they sent around these letters, and there it starts talking about the difference between Yom HaBa'asar and the Yom HaMishasar, Al-Kain, Ayudim HaProzim, and so Sim Yom HaBa'asar L'Chodesh, and now they send the L'Kayim Aleihem, is Yom HaBa'asar L'Chodesh Adar, Ved Yom HaMishasar Bo, B'chol Shana V'Shana. So then it says, Ki Aman Ben Amdata Gagagi, Tzorer Kol Ayudim, Chashav Al Ayudim La'Abdam, V'Hipil Pur, Hu Agaralu Humam Ula Abdam, Ubivoa lifnei hamelech amar im hasefer. What is that? Isn't that that she said that you're supposed to keep this Megillah? Why does it say amar im hasefer? So the real meaning of the pasuk, we're darshaning the pasuk here, that it's going back on all of the events. But the pashtus over here is that he actually got the new letters written. That's the point. So he, the king himself, she came in front of the king, and that's the Umalach Esther Amalka. That's not referring back to the original party. That's referring to when she comes the next day and tells him that he's got to send out new letters. And there she said, I want Tolu Otoved Banav Ala Eitz, and I want everything to be turned around. But the pashtus is that it's referring to the events that happened before, because it started, obviously, with Bivoah. It started with her coming, Bifnei HaMelech, and that was at the beginning of the party. So then why does it say Amra? Amarim HaSefer. It should say Amraim HaSefer. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Why is this Amarim HaSefer? Oh, so therefore, says the Gemara, what we have to look at over here is that it's a taking everything that happened and putting it together. And so, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Amra lo ye'amer bapeh mashikatuv basefer. So this is, even though it seems to be the story, it's not the story, it's a din. And the din is that if you say the Megillah, Omer B'koreh Samagillah Ba'peh, lo yatsa yedei chavato. So she said, when a person is reading the Megillah, he has to say it from a sefer. And they sent out Divrei Shalom Ve'emet. Omer Yitanchu, Amr Le'omer Basi, Melamed Shetzirchaz Sirtut Ki Amita Shel Torah. You've got to write a Megillah so that it's like a Sefer Torah, Rashi learned, so that it has Sirtut in it. And we spoke about this earlier, that this Ki Amita Shel Torah is the reason that Rashi considers the Gezerah Shavah that we spoke about earlier of Prozi, to actually be a real Gezerah Shavah, because Amra Ima Sefer. The fact is that the Rabbeinu Tam and many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi about the whole din, because Rashi is assuming that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut Halach L'Mashe B'Sinai. However, the Halach L'Mashe B'Sinai is really only that the first line of the Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. So therefore, they learn that Ka'amita Shel Torah is a reference to a mezuzah. We're over there. A mezuzah, it's really ma'akev if you don't have all of it, besirtut. That's what it's referring to. Anyway, umamar Esther kiyam. So now, the next thing that it says is that what it was that they took upon themselves, divrei atzomot. So it has over in the first pasuk, it talks about the fact that everybody accepted on themselves the various things. And then it says, Umamar Ester Kiyam, Divrei Purim Ha'elev, Nichtav V'Sefer. So that's mashma, that Mamar Ester, only Mamar Ester, and not the Divrei Atzomot. There's different ways of understanding this. The pashtus is that they only accepted the Mamar Ester. Were they not Mekayim on themselves the Divrei Atzomot? But others learn, Mamar Esther, it was only what Esther did that made the Nes of Purim? You don't think that the Tefillah and the Tzomos made a difference? No, says Rabbi Yochanan, the last Pasuk is part of this Pasuk. So then when it talks about the Divrei Hatzomot Umamar Esther is the way you're supposed to be putting it together, not reading it as two separate things. So put it all together, and then you get the whole story. The events, the Divrei Hatzomot, the Tfilas, Mamar Mort Machmen, the Mamar Esther, and so on. And then the conclusion, Ki Mordechai Yehudim, Mishneh LaMelech Achashverosh, V'Gadol HaYehudim, V'Ratzui L'Rov Echav. Now this is a very dramatic ending, because after all of this, to hear that the most that the Pasuk could say is that Mordechai was accepted by most of his brothers. Whoa. V'lo L'Kol Echav. Melamed Shepirshu Mimenu Mikta Sanhedrin. Now this teaches us that this was not so poshut, and there were members of Sanhedrin that also, literally, they were perished from him. They didn't like him, didn't want to have to do with him. Now, so Rashi understands this to be connected to the inyan that's coming up now with Rabbi Yosef, as we'll see in a moment, about the fact that he went ahead and he took a political position, which cost him his learning, and because of that, they were against him. And that's a nice interpretation. But obviously, there are hidden issues over here that are, as are brought by some of the Mefarshim, and that the portion of Menu Mixes Sanhedrin was a fundamental dislike of everything that had taken place. Because remember, this was a paradigmatic change in the whole nature of Klal Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola revolution of Akela Gadol HaGibor VaNoira. It was part of a complete revision of how it is that we find that the presence of the Shekhinah is within Yisrael. It was looking at Esther as Ayelet HaShachar and as the old way in which we lived as the darkness of the night. And now the new era is considered to be the dawn. That's very shocking. And it remains extremely shocking till today. Most religious people hate Purim. They pretend to like Purim, but the message of Purim and the secular elements of Purim that were specifically not to be a yontif, and the nature of what Neis Nistar really says about Maisa Bereishis, and how probability becomes part of the essence of Maisa Bereishis, is anathema to most people. They can't even tolerate evolution. Forget about the norms of Hanhaga being dependent on Neis Nistar. And so till today, it's an embittered question. Are we to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mordechai, or are we to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as pre-Mordechai ve'Esther? And therefore, and the Hasidim also say, they say it in a different way. I mean, they say that it was the Madrega of Mordechai was such that no, these people in Sanhedrin were unable to grasp the or that he was zeichet to. They were unable to see this new or. Okay, it's a nice way of saying it. But again, the Gemara hides this under the question of, I mean, not really, but Rashi puts the two together, that Omer of Yosef, Godol Talmud Torah, Yoter Mi'atzalat Nefashot, because Mi'ikara Choshev Leila Mordechai Basar Arba, Ulebasov Basar Chamisha. Take a look at these two psukim that are separated in time by 24 years. At the beginning, when Mordechai shows up in Ezra, so it says, Asher Bo Im Zerubbabel, were Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seraya, Re'elaya, and Mordechai Bilshan. So that means Mordechai Bilshan was number 5. And in the end, he becomes number 6. Because in the end, 24 years later, when they're going over the events, it says, Haba'im im Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ra'amya, Nachmeni, and Mordechai Bilshan, number 6. Why was that? Because he hadn't been Isaac. Yeah, isn't that amazing, Moshe? He had not been Isaac in Terah the way that he could have been if he was not involved in Hatzolos and Nefashos. Omar Ravi Tem Reb Shmuel Bar Marta, Godol Talmud Torah Yoter MiBinyan Beit HaMikdash. Forget about the Talmud. The issue over here was Ezra himself. What about Ezra? Explain to me why Ezra didn't come when he was able to come with the proclamation of Koresh. It took him all of those years to show up. And here in Nehemiah is there so long before. Why? Because Kol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neriah Kayam, Lo Yinicho Ezra Ve'Allah. As long as his Rebbe, who was Baruch ben Neriya, was alive, and Baruch himself was a very old man, was unable to travel, so he couldn't come up for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Ezra did not come to be Bina the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Martha. Well, the truth is that we can see from the whole story of Yosef and the brothers and Yaakov, gee, wonder what that is brought up here for. So we can see from there, too, that Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Mikibun Aveim, because all of the years that Yaakov Avinu was hiding and learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, so Kol Otam Shanim Shaya Yaakov Avinu Beit Ever, Lo Ne'anash, he was not punished for not getting back to do the kavod to Yitzchak Avinu. Mashenka, in the days that he spent with Lavan and that he added on his own accord, those he was punished for, as we'll go through the Cheshbon tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.